Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another week of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what we want you to buy next. Today, I am joined by Marissa Mullen. You might know her on Instagram as That Cheese Plate or Cheese by Numbers. Am I saying
yes, it? Yes, you got
and
it.
And also, is it Cheese Plate Class?
That Cheese Class. I
that
just can't
cheese
stop
class.
Making Instagram accounts.
Yeah, you're literally monopolizing the cheese world on Instagram, which I really appreciate. You definitely know her, probably because all combined, you have almost 500,000 followers. You've seen her pretty plates of cheese. And the funny thing is that this is the first time we're talking, but we have known about each other forever because Marissa's dad and my Uncle Tom are like best friends from college.
Yeah, they're like brothers, basically.
Brothers.
Best friends. Like, yeah, my dad's BFF, 100%.
BFF is, your Uncle Tom. Is my Uncle Tom. I have heard so many stories.
Oh, gosh.
Most of them unable to repeat here. There's probably a statute of limitations on some crimes they've committed that's still not up. So I want to protect their innocence. But mostly because I think like a few years ago, I was telling you that my aunt was like, oh, you should get in touch with Moon's daughter and like talk to her about like building an Instagram brand. And then like, we never really got in touch, but a few years later, I came across Marissa's account and I'm like, I don't think she needs my help. I think she's doing really well. Maybe I'll ask her for some help.
It's just cheese plates. Yeah. Colorful cheese plates.
It does a great service to all of us. Cheese plates, I feel like, are the one thing I can do because I'm not a chef. But I can artfully arrange. That's where my like upper echelon limit of cooking talent is. You have a book out.
So the book is called That Cheese Plate Will Change Your Life.
Yes.
And it is 50 different cheese plates with step-by-step instructions. So as you mentioned earlier, Cheese by Numbers is my other Instagram. And so that's the method that I coined to building the perfect cheese plate. And this method basically takes like a paint by number map, but replace that with cheese. And then the numbers instead of colors are items on the plate. So it makes it super easy to build. It's really accessible. A lot of fun, different themes involved, you know.
Genius. Truly genius. None of my cheese plates have ever looked as good as yours, but I definitely have gotten the inspiration from you just to like pile things on the plate and make sure.
Make it feel abundant.
Yeah.
You know?
And just like, and also just different kinds of foods. Like here's crackers, here's potato chips, here's veggies, here's this, here's that. And somehow it looks incredible at the end. And I can only imagine how much more I will upgrade myself with a cheese by numbers. So I'm stoked for your book. Are all these cheese plates like intended for parties or can I just make a cheese plate for myself multiple times a week?
Yeah. So there's a ton of different size cheese plates in here. And here I'm holding it's right here. Sorry.
Yes, let me see. Oh, it's so pretty.
Oh yeah, here it is.
It's so pretty. Yeah, that cheese plate will change your life. It's really pretty.
The viewers at home that can't see it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Sorry, you guys can't see it, but you'll see it because I'm gonna link to it in the show notes. Who took the photography for your book?
So I did all of the photos with my iPhone in my kitchen.
Oh my
God. Because
we're
just trying to be crafty, you know?
That's amazing.
It was a pretty ballsy move, but apparently the newest iPhone has high enough resolution on their photos that it could be printed in a book.
Wow.
And I actually have a background in photography. It was a hobby of mine in high school, and I have all these different types of cameras. But to be honest, the iPhone was just the easiest to organize, capture photos, edit them all in one place.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, why not just take the photos myself and see if it works, and it worked out. So
wow.
That's great.
I have to tell you, I think you're giving a little too much credit to the iPhone because I also have the whatever iPhone with the three lenses, and I don't take I don't take pictures for books. Like
need the natural light. You just need the natural light. So in 2014, I was in college. I made this Instagram because my friends and I would make cheese plates together in our free time, trying to act like we're adults in a way. I interned at The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And then after I graduated, I actually worked at The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. So not cheese related whatsoever. But I still had this kind of passion project, which was that cheese plate on the side as I was working in the music industry. And then I launched my first cheese workshop. So it's called That Cheese Class. And essentially, it's almost like a paint and sip class where you come in. There's this whole grazing table set up in the cheese by numbers order. The cheese by numbers order is step one is cheese. Right. Step two is meat.
Yep.
Step three is produce. Step four is crunchy items. Step five is dip. Step six is garnish. So the six steps. And I basically like curated this space where the bar is called Lois in the East Village. And mm-hmm. Phoebe, who's a friend of mine, is a co-owner of it. So we teamed up to do the very first event in the fall of 2018. And it was just so much fun because you come in, everyone has their personal place setting with a slate and a tote bag. And then we go through a really in-depth cheese education. Phoebe used to be the director of cheese at Bedford Cheese in Brooklyn.
Nice, yeah.
And we do some wine pairings, and then I teach everyone how to make a cheese plate and then how to take a photo of it. So it's like the best like little two-hour class.
What a genius business idea. I'm right there with you in that when I tried selling the first book proposal that I came out with like 8 years ago, everyone flat out rejected it. And it sucks. You have this idea in your head. You're pumped about it. Your agent is pumped about it. And no one else understands it. And what they will say, and I'm assuming that because you're saying things that I remember being said to me at the time, which was like, right, exactly. It's like, oh, you have to go, like, who's your audience? Like, who's going to buy this? Like, we need to know. And it's like, social media is great, but it also kind of sucks because now if you want to sell something, you have to have already, like, it's like a chicken or egg thing. It's like, well, how do you want me to get 200,000 followers without, like, a book? How do you want me to get a book without 200? It just goes on forever. But this is, I mean, you're making it sound so easy, but like, I think it's like a really great way for people who are really interested in learning how to like kind of go from hobby to making a living off of something. Like your trajectory over, I guess, since 2014, 6 years is like,
it took a while.
It takes a while. It has to be more than
and
cheese
it's
place.
Not it's not like, overnight at all.
Not overnight.
So I started populating cheese by numbers with these swipe to build posts. So basically, if you go to cheese by numbers, you can find a cheese plate that is built on that cheese plate. And cheese by numbers breaks it down slide by slide. So each slide is a step in the cheese by numbers process.
Yeah.
And I did this because my illustrator just couldn't illustrate all of the cheese plates I was making, because I'd like, can you do another? She's like, I also work at The Late Show. I'm like, oh yeah, right,
okay, I have a job.
Let's calm down.
The one,
so then November 2017, that cheese plate was probably about at like 40,000 followers at this point. Cheese by numbers, I was kind of directing people there as like the step-by-step account, that was probably at like 5,000. And I got an email from the Rachel Ray Show, and they were like, hey, we found cheese by numbers. We'd love to have you on the show. And I was like, well, not that cheese plate, like the bigger one. They're like, no, cheese by numbers. We can't talk about two cheese accounts. It's too confusing. I'm like, okay. So I go on Rachel Ray in December of 2017. She talks all about the cheese by numbers method. Or sorry, this is 2018. I'm getting my years mixed up. Talks all about the cheese by numbers method. Overnight, it blows up to like 20,000 followers.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. Now I actually do have two cheese plate accounts that I need to just keep together somehow.
Like, did you patent cheese by numbers? Like, is that you? Do you own that?
I have the trademark.
Right. Yeah. Whatever
trademark
that is.
Trademark.
Yeah. Patent would mean you invented numbers. But okay, so you trademarked cheese by numbers.
I did the whole trademark thing. Yeah. So this was like towards the end of 2018. With my job, I was already there for almost 4 years. I was kind of hitting a wall where I wanted to grow within the company, but there was really nowhere to go. It was just like, I was in that transitional phase anyways when all this started to pick up. So once 2019 happened in the new year, in January, the Today Show reached out because they saw Rachel Ray Show. Mm-hmm. And I did an article with Vox Magazine. And then from there, like, press just kind of flooded in, and Random House out of nowhere sends me an email and says, hey, did you ever think to do a book with this concept?
And
I'm like, pretty
like
sure
that.
You rejected me, but yes, I'd love to.
I have thought about that, actually. That is an amazing story, and also just kind of makes me want cheese very badly. we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back because I cannot wait to see what you brought. Okay, we're back. This has given me, this is making me think so much about like my own Instagram account, my the one for this podcast, where I'm like so reluctant to like show my face, just because like in my deep, darkest, dumbest fears are like, oh, like everyone from high school is like making fun of you. But like, that's actually not true, because no one from high school gives a shit. And
so true.
And actually no one gives a shit. Like, I don't like think of that when I see anyone else's account. I mean, unless it's like truly
it's
dumb,
so
which
it's
I would hope.
Like,
yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, you have to be so vulnerable. It's like you're putting yourself out there and being like, here's me, here are my ideas, hello. Like, it, you're putting yourself out there to be judged automatically.
Totally.
And what my mom always says, because I'm always like, well, what if someone writes a bad review about the book? She's like, not everyone's going to like you. And I'm like,
yeah,
you know what? You're right. And that's cool. Like, as
it's
long
so
as you
true.
Think you're doing something that matters, then whatever. You know?
Will you have already found an audience that loves you. You will find an audience that gets it. When we came out with Hey Ladies, it was the same thing. Michelle and I would like, everyone was like, don't read the reviews. But every night, Michelle and I would read all the reviews. And sometimes there'd be a review and it was just like, oh, they just don't get it. Like, we would be like offended, but be like, oh, this, they just like don't, they just like don't understand what we were doing. Or like, they don't think the things that we find funny are funny. And like, no one has to be burned for that. I mean, I wouldn't have spent my time writing a review, but whatever. Okay. You know, sure. You got time, whatever. But like, you, I think you'll find like, there's going to be people who are, I don't know, who doesn't like cheese plates? I think it's like, I think what you want is like for people to be talking about the book. So like, good or bad, it actually doesn't matter. Like,
all press is good press.
Exactly. Yeah. So what did you bring? I'm really pumped. We've been having, we've been talking about doing this for a while. We're finally sitting down to do it. The book is out. Well, by the time this goes out into the, this episode goes out into the world, the book is out. So I'm hoping that you brought at least, I know that you were like, I have two products that I want to share, but I'm hoping one of them at least is cheese related.
So they're both semi, well, one is definitely cheese related. The other one is cheese adjacent. So
ooh, which one do you want to start with?
So let's start with our good old cheese product.
Okay.
So this is a cheese board starter kit. So I love all types of cheese plates. So when you make a cheese plate, you really just need a flat surface. Like, you can do one on a table, you can do one on a cookie tray, a cutting board, whatever you want. But one of my favorites is Brooklyn Slate. So they are a company based out of Red Hook. They source slate from a quarry upstate and make these beautiful slate boards that you can drawn. They're all different sizes. They actually made a custom cut for my cheese classes that I teach, which is amazing. And they're just such an awesome company. And they have this cheese board starter kit on their website, which has a slate cheese board. It comes with a wooden knife. It comes with a soapstone pencil, because on these slates, you can also write like brie or camembert, whatever you want, with your soapstone pencil.
Very fun.
Yes, it comes with a cheese survival guide, which is like this tiny little book that tells you how to cut some cheese and different tips for like, you know, different types of milk and what you should use on your cheese plate, et cetera.
Fun.
And it's just like a great gift. It's a great gift for yourself. If you want to really get started and have a nice cheese board set, I feel like that's where you should go.
I would buy this for me. This is a great, this is also a great housewarming gift, a great like wedding gift. I'm looking at it right now. I'm on the Brooklyn Slate site. I also noticed that Williams Sonoma carries it, but for $10 more. So I assume that there's some brand deal. But I assume you, so $54 on the actual Brooklyn Slate website. So I would recommend buying it through them. And I guess, yeah, they ship anywhere. And that's, I love that. Which do you recommend? I see that the board sizes are 7 by 12, 10 by 14, 5 by 18. Like, is there, I know that it's like, you know, bigger for parties, smaller for self, but is there like one that's like generally this is the size that will be good for like dinner for two or dinner for six?
So I typically, for some reason, am more attracted to round boards.
Okay.
Which I don't know why. I think it's because, so when I make cheese plates, it's almost like I'm painting a picture, and with a round board, I feel like it's easier to kind of spread out the colors of the produce and make it kind of this whole complete circle. So the round board is a little bit more expensive. It's $70, but it's about, I think it's 11 and a half inches in diameter. That can easily fit four cheeses. It can fit all of your items on a cheese plate. That could probably serve. The serving sizes are interesting, because people ask me this all the time. They're like, oh, how much how many people can this plate serve? And it all depends on what your occasion is. So if this is the only thing you're eating, then that's one thing. If this is the appetizer before a steak dinner, that's another thing.
Yep.
So say that this cheese plate is all you're eating for the night, I'd say you can feed like 6 to 8 people with that size.
Nice. Okay. I like that. And it's very cute. I'm looking at all the pictures of like the packaging is really sweet. It's like, I don't know. It's very Brooklyn, but it doesn't, you know, when like Brooklyn is like too Brooklyn and you know this cause you live in Brooklyn. This is like just the level of Brooklyn that I want.
Yeah. They tie everything with like a little twine and yeah. it's really sweet.
And which people need to know, if you're buying something from a company that has Brooklyn in the name, you're going to get either twine or an Edison light bulb in your order. But yes. Like it's really cute without being like too like twee, I guess, in its presentation. Now I know we chatted about this before. So it comes with like a specific soap that you wash the cheese board with, but you admittedly said that you don't usually use I don't know how to wash a cheese board, and it doesn't sound like you do either.
So slates are dishwasher safe.
Really?
Can I say that 5 times? That's hard to say. Dishwasher safe. Yeah. So slates are dishwasher safe.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. And so you can just place it in the dishwasher. Wooden boards, though, on the other hand, you don't want to do that because they will crack. So definitely hand wash those. The mineral oil that is included on this cheese border starter kit is more to just preserve, I think, like the texture of the slate, because it could probably get like a little scratched up sometimes.
Yeah, or like porous.
So I think by like, it's like wiping it with the mineral oil. Is it? Yeah, 100 grade mineral oil. I actually have never used the mineral oil, but sounds I think fancy. It's probably great. Yeah, for maintaining the look and integrity of your board. Yeah
I mean, it's sort of like the way that you season a cast iron pan. Like you kind of have to just keep just taking care of your cheese board. I actually recently learned that this is how behind I am in the kitchen, but I'm sure most people know this, is that like you can't cut meat on certain cutting boards, because like if you cut meat on a plastic cutting board, it like seeps into the pores of, I mean, like you can, but then you can't use it for anything else because it's really difficult to clean and sanitize. And if you then end up cutting raw vegetables on the same cutting board that you, what are you saying? Oh, my husband just walked into the room and interrupted me and mansplained to me that it's wood cutting boards that you can't cut meat on. Are you kidding? What? Safety first. Thanks, Dan. Okay, amazing.
Well, that makes sense because...
Can't wait to keep this in the episode.
When you make a cheese plate on a wooden board,
same
thing with berries. You get berry stains really easily because it seeps into the wood. So whenever you get a berry stain on a board, usually I like to scrub it with like hot water. Sometimes like lemon works too, weirdly.
Oh, nice. I can't believe he just did that, but it's true.
Amazing.
He never interrupts because I have my own working space, but obviously he must have heard me. So everyone knows who listens to this. Dan does all the cooking in my house. I do most of the cleaning, and he would never interrupt me unless there was a fire, unless I was like spewing incorrect information. But yeah, so wood cutting boards, no meat. Yeah, he literally like opened the door and was like, it's wood. So wood cutting boards, no meat. But I didn't really like realize that.
Along with it. Like, yeah, plastic, 100%.
Yeah, you were like, Yeah, exactly. I love plastic everything. I always, the dishwasher safe part of this is so appealing to me because, similar to buying clothes that are like hand wash only and like flat lay dry, like that's a big turnoff. Anything I can just put into a machine and it comes out clean is my kind of product. So this looks great.
Successful.
I'm surprised.
And free shipping.
I mean, what could be better? This is great. So $70 for the round. And then the small one that's like 7 by 12, which actually isn't even that small, is $54. And then the biggest one is 12 by 12 and that's $66. So you sort of have a wide spectrum that you can choose from.
A range,
from.
Yeah.
Now,
definitely.
do you usually create on a round board, or do you evenly distribute your creations between rectangular boards and round boards?
So I like to switch it up. I have a lot of different types of boards in my apartment in Brooklyn right now. I'm at my parents' house and it's funny because I'm like looking through their selection and it's definitely different because they don't really make cheese plates too frequently. They have a slate here. They have like a wooden board, but my dad, he loves to make like small, like five course small plate meals. So there's all these like little plates everywhere.
Wow, I'm coming over. Sounds great.
Which won't really work for a cheese plate, but sure. Yeah, I like to switch it up. I also really like boards that have kind of a lip around the edge of them. So there's some that you can find, like actually porcelain plates, like, you know, those kind of, the Japanese style porcelain plates that are flat bottom. They don't curve down at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the perimeter is just like a small little border.
Yep.
Those are great for cheese plates because you can just throw berries on there, like blueberries. They won't roll away. It kind of keeps everything in place.
Nice.
But as for shape, I on my Instagram, I go back and forth between square, round, rectangle, just to kind of switch it up a little bit. And then a grazing table on a 6-foot table. Those are fun too.
Grazing tables are great. I have gone to a few weddings that did grazing tables as part of the happy hour or the cocktail hour. And like, mwah, so good. Like you can't really go wrong. It's just like all good stuff on a table and somehow it looks incredible. I feel like with cheese plates too, like more is more sometimes. Like, just if you're putting like, I don't know, I feel like all my favorite pictures from your account and then also like, you know, wherever cheese plates are on Pinterest or the internet is like, I want to see like piles of things and like nuts everywhere and like
dried
fruit. Yeah, load it up. I mean, I just, nothing looks bad. Like all of it's aesthetically pleasing because it just looks really delish. So I feel like a grazing table that's like 6 feet long, but also like a foot high in stuff is...
I think it takes us back to like the medieval era of just like having these like luscious tables of overflowing food and grapes and
very Last Supper. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's love
like
that.
The modern day medieval time.
Well, this is a really great recommendation. So I feel like this is such a, if you're going to buy Marissa's book, which I highly recommend, I feel like get yourself, don't buy it as a gift. We can pretend that we're going to buy the Brooklyn Slate Company cheese board as a gift. We're all getting it for ourselves. Get one for yourself to like, I don't know, if you're going to take
also,
notes from the
if
book.
If you get one, you can make that fresh herbs plate on page 234.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that looks delish.
And that uses the round board.
I'm going to have you, after we're done recording, send me a picture of that page so I can like put it
up. Yeah, like here's the step-by-step with the
This is great.
The little board.
I love the step-by-step so much. And the first, I think the first thing that I saw of yours that was Cheese by Numbers was shared into my feed. And it was when you cut out the brie into a ghost. And was that like a cookie cutter?
It was a cookie cutter, yeah.
Brilliant. I was just like, wow, this woman's living my dream. And then I like looked harder and I was like, I know her. This is such a great recommendation. So it's between 54 and 70, depending on which direction you go. You can order it right from Brooklyn Slate Company. And then you said you had something else that was semi-cheese related. We're going to take a quick break, but then we're going to come back and I want to hear about this rec.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're back. All right, lay your second product rec on us.
All right, so once you made your beautiful cheese plate on your nice round slate, you then want to take a picture of it to share with your friends. So if, you know, not a lot of people have access to a beautiful marble countertop. I know I don't.
I definitely
I live
do
in
not.
Brooklyn, and my countertops are, I don't know what they're made of. But if you
cardboard.
Go on Amazon, you can find, on Amazon, you can find this really awesome double-sided photography backdrop that one side is white marble, the other side is black marble. It's called the Alan Joy double-sided marble photography background, 2-in-1 texture, pattern, waterproof. It's a really long
I love those names. I love what they come up with. Wait, this is so cool. I'm looking at it on Amazon right now.
It's like a roll-up what's the material? It's waterproof. So you can wash it off, roll it up, take it wherever you want. I actually use this a lot in my workshops because we end the class with like a quick photo lesson and how to take a photo and edit your photos. So I just roll out my marble backdrop and it looks like you're in a fancy kitchen.
This is so cool. I'm looking at it and I'm realizing, you know, all of my food pictures come out poorly. I know a lot of it is, I'm not trying. B, I don't know that much about light. And C, I think I'm always kind of at a loss for what the backdrop should be. How did you, oh my God, there's so many ones that look like wooden, like tables that I realize that I have definitely seen in pictures that are like just paper. This is blowing my mind. When did you find out
Everything
about these?
Everything you see is a lie on the internet, basically.
I want in on this lie. This is like, I'm here trying to find like a bench and people just have like, oh my God, this is so cool. I'm looking at the Alan Joy double-sided white wood photography. So there's one that's like kind of like a white stained wood. And then there's one that has like this beautiful stew in a Dutch oven. And wow, this is wild. I didn't even know these existed. How did you find out these existed?
So I think honestly, I got targeted an ad once and it was a different concept. Wow. It was like these backdrop boards that are more, you can't roll them up. And I saw one on Instagram and I was like, wow, that's such a good idea. Cause I take all my photos in my apartment on my white kitchen table. I just happen to have a white table. I keep it clean. That's where I take all my photos on. Like all the photos you see in the book are on my white table.
Nice.
Next to a large window. That was it. There's no lighting involved. It's just natural light.
Wow.
But with this, I wanted to figure out a way where I could get a fun backdrop to like bring to different places, because when I teach workshops or I do private events, you never know what you're really stepping into. So one time I stepped into a private event and all they had was like a ugly plastic table. So I brought my marble backdrop with me and just elevated the space. But yeah, I saw this targeted ad and then looked up that product, but realized that I asked a friend who is a photographer. She uses these all the time for product shoots. And she was like, oh yeah, well that one's really heavy. So you might not want that to bring around to different places, but there's other ones that are, you know, you can roll them up. They're flexible. So I looked up on Amazon and this was the first one to pop up and I ordered it and I like it.
There are so many. Do you have more than the marble ones or are you tried and true marble?
I have one more, which I actually also really like, which is it's the other marble one. It's the white marble on one side. And then the other side is like this nice turquoise rosy pattern of marble granite kind of thing. And that's a fun one too, because it's colorful, it's pretty, but it's not too overpowering. You know, it's not too much of a pattern. Cheese plates are already so vibrant and there's already so much texture on them that the backdrop you want to be kind of understated. And,
yeah. You just want it to be like, this is my table. This is my nice table. Now, how did you light the photo that you took with the plastic table? Like if you don't have a window with natural light, how are you lighting your shots?
Well, like the true beauty YouTuber I am, I bought beauty lights from Amazon.
Nice.
Those ring lights.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so they sell these. So here's my third item. These little mini ring lights. So they're about probably 6 to 8 inches in diameter. And they come with these little tripods and they plug into USB. So I got two of those. I put my marble backdrop down. I set them down so that they're kind of angling towards the cheese plate. Because when you take a photo, if you don't have access to natural light, you want to make sure that A, the light around you isn't orangey to like wash out the cheese plate. And B, if you do have this artificial light, you want to take a photo above the lights so that you don't have a shadow on the plate.
So this way,
it kind of lives below your hand when you're taking a photo, because they only go up about like 6 inches high too. And they shine this really nice natural light on the plate and it looks pretty similar.
I'm looking at it right now on Amazon. And I'm like, do I need this? Yes. Is it intuitive? Like you have a background in photography. Like, is it intuitive just to like basically put the thing on and then move around until you know that you're getting good light? You can like, because it's not like you're taking a picture with, you know, like through a lens where you're like, hope this came out good. Like you can literally see the final product on your phone. Like, is using one of these for someone who, is it like, is it good for dummies? Is it good for me, a dummy?
I mean, I think like with anything takes practice, you know, and because I had practice in photography and photo editing and kind of creative direction, it was easier for me to pick up quickly. But I think that if you set it up and adjust the settings and just see what looks nice on your phone.
Yeah.
With like a few different goes at it, you can, I don't think it's too hard.
I love it.
You know, it's not like these massive 10-foot lights, like in photo shoots that you have to like control with a clicker, you know, there's no diffusers happening. Right. It's just very,
or like the holding the like white thing underneath for the bounce.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting because it's like, I know ring lights existed, but I didn't know there were like mini ones, and the mini ones seem way more useful because what are you going to do with a massive ring light unless you are truly like making millions? Yeah. Unless you're making a TikTok, and also unless you're making a TikTok that like is sponsored, like unless, you know what I mean? Like the production value is so high that sometimes like people are looking for like a little bit more of a natural, like just woke up like this kind of like look. Like some people don't want things to look super branded, and a ring light really makes it look like you're on a shoot. So I feel like this is a nice medium for like being able to, like you would prefer a window to the mini ring light, I assume. But if there's nothing, okay. So if there's no window available.
Because a lot of the time, like for my workshops at Lois, which was our monthly series, we would have them from 12 to 2 every day. So the lighting was beautiful.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other workshops that I've done during the week have to be after work. So, and a lot of them were this winter and last winter. So the sun sets at like 4 p.m. So you get no natural light at all.
Right.
And I did a few workshops without these lights and was like, there's just no way to take a good photo. And a big draw about my classes is that people have this product that they have this cheese plate they build and they want to share it. So
totally,
I needed to lock in that photography aspect, and the ring lights were great.
That is so genius. It makes me, it just like, I forget that people like buy things and that's why things look better. And I'm not just like dumb. I just like haven't bought the thing. It's awesome. This is awesome. I love this. And also because I don't think we mentioned like the backgrounds, like the marble backgrounds are like $15. Like they're really inexpensive.
Yeah,
how do you, I know you said that they can roll up, but like, how do you store them?
So I store them, pretty much rolled up in my room in a corner, but then when I'm using them, I'll lay them out ahead of time and kind of stack books on them to make sure that they unroll. Cool. And stay unrolled.
I'm like, okay, I have to get all of these things. You're gonna see very shortly some picture on like a marble background from my account.
I'm ready.
My last question to you, because these are such good products, but you keep mentioning your classes. I wish that I had known about this when I was, because I didn't really want a bachelorette party when I was getting married. I was like, it's just not my thing, but I totally would have done that with my friends. Like, do you do events like that, or is it mostly just like random people coming together?
It's mostly, so the events that I, well, it's funny because the whole world of events has changed since the coronavirus, but a lot of them were ticketed. So that cheese class is like my ticketed workshops that you purchase a ticket, you show up, you get the whole experience.
Right.
And then I was doing private workshops for a lot of businesses and companies. So like, for example, New York Times events team wanted to do a Christmas party with 30 people and make cheese plates. So we did a little party for that.
That is so fun.
I haven't really opened it up yet for just random requests because it's just, it would be so busy.
Yeah.
So I think it all depends on like when and where and if I'm free and, you know, all these different things. But it's definitely, a super fun activity to do with a group of friends.
Yeah. Pain and sip never felt like appealing to me because I'm not a big drinker, but I'm a big cheese eater. So this would be my kind of thing. Now, because the whole world of events have changed, I know you said you were doing like some Zoom happy hours. Are you able to like, could you do a cheese class if it was like, I mean, I know because we're not trying to encourage people to go to the store if they don't have to go. But is it like, hey, grab a bunch of stuff in your house and I'll tell you how to like put it together. Yeah. Like what? Yeah. Tell me how you're doing it on Zoom.
Yeah. So right now I've been doing weekly Instagram happy hours. So I've had special guests come in and I basically teach them how to make a cheese plate. So last week I actually had John Batiste on the show and
amazing.
I taught him and his girlfriend, Suleika Jawad. She's an amazing writer and she's actually doing this project called the Isolation Journal. So it's like a creative writing prompt every day. So she let me create the writing prompt for that day. We talked about that and then John performed piano and we all made cheese plates together.
That is amazing.
So I'm like working on ways. This week on Saturday, I have Tyler Cameron from The Bachelor coming to do a date night cheese plate.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm trying to kind of like merge my two lives of working in the entertainment industry and now being in cheese to come together to do these like fun interactive events, because you can really make a cheese plate with, I mean, my book is all about like different pairings and different themes. And like, there's obviously like cheese that goes well with certain items. Right. And there's so many different cheeses out there that you have to explore. It's just going into the world of cheese is like the world of wine. It's like so deep.
Yeah.
But for something like an easy cheese plate to look nice with pantry items, you can just break it down in the cheese by numbers method. So Right. It's like, okay, do you have any cheese? Check. Do you have any produce? Yeah, I have some cucumbers. Perfect. Check.
Yeah.
And then going through the steps, you will learn how to make the plate. So that's kind of what I've been doing for the viewers at home. I send out a little checklist and everyone will kind of gather what they have in their kitchen and build along with us on the Instagram lives. And then afterwards I get tagged in all these photos of beautiful plates, and
that's awesome.
It's just like such a fun experience.
That is such a good idea. Obviously you need no help trying to figure out how to, like move from IRL to digital, because that's genius. And I also just love the idea that it can both be about the food itself on the plate, but also like just go into your fridge and like, it's like when people are like, I made this dinner out of like all the stuff that's about to go bad in my fridge and it looks like amazing. Yeah. Like you can do that with a cheese plate too. Like you can just get your veggies. You can find like that thing of peanuts that's like in the back of your pantry, and like things can actually look so much more appetizing. It's kind of, I don't know, I'm very much the queen of like, we have no food in the house, but that's because I can't see anything for more than what it is. And so I think if you're a purely visual person who really just wants to see something pretty on a plate, this is like such a good way to do it, especially if you can't go out shopping as often as you want to, or like, you know, jump around to different cheese stores in your area, which I can't wait to do again.
And if you want to get a little creative with it, like the other day I had a bunch of berries that were going to go bad. I boiled them down and made some jam for my cheese plate. So then you can kind of take it a step further.
Yeah.
These different elements that are like, you can, in my book, I have a recipe for homemade crackers. So it's like a super easy recipe, but just to elevate your cheese plate a little bit more. So you can actually be cooking for the cheese plate as well.
I have to be able to share this recipe for homemade crackers, because you say that it's a recipe for people who are usually not super cooking inclined. Do you want to share it now, or you can also send it to me and I can put it in the show notes? Is it easy to explain, or is it better if people like read it?
Yeah. So one of my goals is to attempt to make sourdough. I actually have a chapter in here called Carbs Are Your Friend.
Yes, they are.
And it's all about different carbs to put on a cheese plate, different crunchy items.
Nice.
And I actually have a paragraph called An Ode to Making Sourdough Bread, because I love the idea of making sourdough, but I just have not come around to make, probably by the time this airs, I would have made my first sourdough. But that being said, crackers are a little bit easier. It's like sourdough light.
Yeah.
And so this cracker recipe is super easy. It's for flatbread crackers. All you need is flour, salt, sugar, grated Parmesan cheese, because we need to put cheese in everything here.
Yes.
Rosemary, cold water, olive oil, and then salt, or like everything but the bagel seasoning. That's good on there too. So all you have to do is mix together the flour, salt, sugar, cheese, water, olive oil, basically mix together all of the ingredients except for the rosemary to garnish. Mix that together. It will come together to a dough naturally by mixing it.
Okay.
Dump that out on a floured surface. Just knead it out. It's basically like if you've ever made homemade pizza, it's like rolling out pizza dough, basically.
Nice.
So then at that point, just roll it out until it's about probably an eighth of an inch thick, because you don't want them too thick. You can even cut them with a pizza cutter, you know, and cut them into strips. I usually cut them into like 5-inch rectangles, like 2x5 rectangles, and put them in the oven for 10 to 12 minutes, and they turn into crackers.
I would feel so accomplished if I could do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to try. Oh, they look really nice. And that's on the marble background. Like, you took that picture.
This is on the marble background.
I feel...
Yeah, everything I'm talking about is in this book, which is just full circle.
I feel so liberated, honestly. This is amazing. I'm so excited about this book. That Cheese Plate Will Change Your Life has already changed mine. And I don't even have the book yet, so I'm ready. You guys can buy that at your local independent bookstore, or my favorite local independent bookstore, which is Amherst Books in Amherst, Massachusetts. Marissa, do you have a favorite local indie you want to shout out?
Yes, shout out to Word Bookstore in Greenpoint, Brooklyn.
Yeah,
they're the best.
We love Word. I'm going to put all the information about, like, literally everything we talked about, from the ring light and the marble background and the Brooklyn Slate Company cheese plate. Like, we're all going to be cheese people after this, but just don't forget.
And Kings.
Yes, Marissa has trademarked Cheese by Numbers, so start somewhere else if that was your plan to take over. Marissa, thank you so much for coming to G Thanks Just Bought It, and I'm so happy that we finally met. This is like
me too.
A long time meant coming.
I know.
This was awesome. Remember, you guys can follow That Cheese Plate, Cheese by Numbers, and That Cheese Class all on Instagram. Okay. It's all under the same cheese brand of Marissa Mullen. And you can follow G Thanks, the podcast, on G Thanks Just Bought It Pod. And on Twitter, I am Caroline Moss. Please tell me what you're buying, what you recommend, and if you bought any of Marissa's recommendations. And tweet us pictures of